Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and I hope you and all the listening public out there is doing well today.
We thank God for this opportunity to be here and to reflect upon His Word.
It's the Lord's Day, the Day of Resurrection. It's a day that we all need to rededicate ourselves to a very important aspect of our Christian life, which is forgiveness. And it's the Christian message.
It is indeed the message of our gospel today, which is the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Bishop, if you would proclaim it for us now.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Peter approached Jesus and said to him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus answered, I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants, who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, Pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? Then, in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As we said earlier, the focus today is forgiveness. And when Peter asks how many times we should forgive, and Jesus says 70 times 77, a high number, to be sure. But what is the significance of 70 times 77?
77 times, then one of the other Gospels says 7 times 7 times. The obvious meaning of Jesus is the infinite. You know, it's forgiveness is a way of life. It's not numbered in times. But let's go to see what maybe Peter was getting at. Of course, Peter has that impetuous kind of, I've got a question, you know. But it also elicits a response from Jesus, which becomes teaching for us. And this is the beauty of the human side of the gospel. It's Peter asking and Jesus responding, which becomes really an expression of God's life through a parable. It was common practice, from my understanding at the time, that there was a common practice of you forgave 3 times. So if somebody offends you, forgive. If somebody offends you again, same person, forgive. 3 times. The 4th time, you were not obliged to forgive. Probably Peter, what the commentators say, is that Peter said, well, let's stretch this a little bit, because obviously Jesus has an expanded teaching here, as we heard last Sunday about divine love, putting divine love in. So let's give him 2. three times and three times. That's six. And let's stretch it one more to seven. So three, three, and one, seven. Also because seven is one of those perfect numbers in Scripture. So he felt if we can get it to seven, then that should be, that's enough. And unfortunately, in our human mentality, probably many of us think the same way. How often must I forgive this person that won't leave me alone, that keeps, et cetera, et cetera. But Jesus says, I say to you, in other words, you may have heard this. This may be the common practice. You may feel this is enough. But whenever Jesus says, I say to you, he's introducing something new. And so he says, I say to you, not seven times, which to you, Peter, sounds great, but 77 times, which is a perfect number, 77, and really meaning without limit. Every person, every time, every place, forgive. So it really, again, forgiveness becomes our being, not excusing. I mean, I think we have to always, we try to dissect these things. Well, what do you mean forgive? Because it's not excusing bad behavior in any way. But as a parent, I mean, if you look at it from the point of view of someone who's trying to build relationships, because we also have to be peacemakers. So we cannot enter into the arena of hardness of heart, because then we're no longer peacemakers. We become obstacles. So Jesus, of course, taking the entire approach of his teaching, is calling us to be peacemakers, to be merciful as his heavenly Father is merciful. What we talked about last Sunday with the prodigal son, all of that is kind of the context of entering into this 77 times to be people who have as their nature forgiveness.
To reflect further on this, what you said about not excusing bad behavior, in our minds, we forgive them, but we still must move on.
We're not naive. I mean, none of us can be naive. There's good behavior and there's bad behavior. You have to acknowledge that. We're not naive people. So we have to acknowledge this is bad behavior. But it does that does not excuse me just ignoring that person or not doing my part to help them to come to a reconciliation with God. It's like, you know, again, the word of life that we have for this month that I introduced last week, and I hope we're still remembering that. The father with the older son was inviting him. He wasn't saying, you're not behaving properly, now get out of my sight. He was inviting the son to reconcile with his brother, to discover a new relationship with him as father. So it's never to write things off in some kind of naive way, like if I ignore it, it'll go away. That doesn't happen. But forgiveness is an active component, an active aspect of love, which builds, which creates. It's creative. It builds relationships. And that really is what the gospel that Jesus has here, the parable of the gospel, Jesus is really inviting us to build relationships through forgiveness. Because we have to, when he spoke of the greatest commandment of loving, he included the enemy. Anybody can love their friend. Anybody can love those that agree with them. Anybody can love those who think like they think or act like they act. But Jesus says that's not the proving ground of who you are as a disciple of mine, of Jesus's. It's can you love your enemy? That's where the heroic virtue of that forgiveness comes in.
We look now at the three scenes in this parable. The king had compassion toward the debtor, and then the debtor turns around and does not want to forgive the one who owed him a debt, going totally against the idea of do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Well, you know, I think there we have to put all these things in context of ourselves. What is our context? If we are baptized Christians, if we are disciples of Christ, we want to follow him. What's the context? The context is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that we are his debtors. You know, we are in debt to him. He has forgiven us. His Father has forgiven us. He has forgiven us. The way that that forgiveness happened was giving his life, dying on the cross for us, and then rising from the dead. And so how can we ever repay? And I think we lose sight of that. We lose sight of the fact that God has given his life. Christ, as God, has given his life for us. We owe him. And so all he's asking from us, and I think this is certainly the meaning of the gospel, all he's asking of us then, if we could say it this way, as payment, is just do the same to your brothers and sisters. Those that owe you, I mean, who could ever, if we're still living, then we haven't given our life. So this person is not in debt to me as much as I am in debt to God. So Jesus is just giving us the context. You have had your salvation paid for by the death of Christ on the cross. That's our faith. That's Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And he gave his life. This is my body offered for you, given up for you. This is my blood shed for you. So that we're in debt to him. So we have to always live as debtors. And if we grasp that at the core of our being, then the one that has offended us is much less an offense to us as our sins are to Christ and his gift of himself. That may sound a little confusing, but I think we got the meaning. He's just saying, put your life in context. I have paid the price for you. Now you do that for your brother.
We are discussing forgiveness and how the Lord is always calling us to forgive from this Sunday's Gospel of Matthew, and our Shepherd's View will continue right after this.
Our Shepherd's View will be right back.
You were invited to the annual State of the Diocese event. It's an evening where parishioners can all come together as disciples of our Lord. Bishop Michael Mulvey will update everyone on the state of the diocese, that is, where we are and where we want to be. It's a chance for parishioners to celebrate and thank the Lord for the great gifts he gives us every day. Dinner is provided and you can bring the kids. You'll learn about vocations, youth and young adults, communications, and so many other programs you may have heard about but want to know more about. You may even want to get involved. It starts at 6 p.m. at the Robstown Fairgrounds in Ballroom B. Dinner will be served at 6:30 p.m. Seating is limited, so you must pre-register at diocesecc.org/state.
ACTS, A-C-T-S, an acronym for Adoration, Community, Theology, and Service. It's a 4-day, 3-night retreat intended to provide an opportunity for personal encounter with Jesus Christ. The purpose is twofold: to promote intentional Christ-centered discipleship and to build the parish community. A Men's ACTS retreat will begin at St. Paul the Apostle Parish in Flower Bluff, beginning with check-in at the Parish Hall at 5:30 p.m. Thursday, October 26th. Transportation is then provided to the Pax Christi Liturgical Retreat Center in Cal Allen for the bulk of the event. The retreat will conclude with the 11 a.m. Mass, Sunday, October 29th, back at St. Paul's. To register, visit stpaultheapostlecc.com or stop by the parish office. For additional information, call Danny Reddick, the director, at 361-947-4058.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey, and our gospel reading today from St. Matthew has Peter asking Jesus, "How many times should we forgive?" And Jesus says, 70 times 77. And with this message of forgiveness at the forefront, let's connect that to the recent anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. The 22nd anniversary was just last Monday.
Right. And, in forgiveness, I mean, it's been a challenge to all of us. Where do you draw a line? I mean, this is where, Christianity has saints, because they're people who didn't draw the line and say, that's enough, I will not go any further. But they struggle. We all struggle with it. I mean, they're martyrs, you know, who would not give up their faith in order, in exchange for their life. I mean, they gave their life for their faith. And that's a heroic virtue. And so I truly believe this is certainly nothing to excuse. It's something that has to be looked into. Measures need to be taken to stop any kind of terrorism. I mean, that's not a question. But it goes down to the fact of if it ruins our own inner self as a disciple of Christ, hardening our heart against any group of people because we may project they belong to the same, then that's not helping the world to heal, not helping the world to be more united. The other day I was reading, and I'd like to read that for us, because I was just struck by it. It's from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was a Christian writer at the turn of the last century. I believe died in 1962, but he was a professor at Oxford and Cambridge in England, but a very profound thinker, but also very simple. And I was just struck by something that, of course, he wrote during the Second World War and after. And in this book, Mere Christianity, I was really struck by something he said in the chapter on forgiveness. And if you'll permit me, it speaks to us today. And of course, he's speaking of the Second World War. I said in a previous chapter that chastity was the most unpopular of the Christian virtues, but I'm not sure I was right. I believe there is one even more unpopular. It is laid down in the Christian rule, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Because in Christian morals, your neighbor includes your enemy. And so we come up against the terrible duty of forgiving our enemies. Now this again is C.S. Lewis. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. As we had during the war, referring to the Second World War. And then, to mention the subject at all is to be greeted with howls of anger. It is not that people think this is too high and difficult a virtue. It is that they think it hateful and contemptible. That sort of talk makes me sick, and half of you already want to ask me. I wonder how you'd feel about forgiving the Gestapo if you were Polish or Jewish. And he responds, and so do I wonder. I wonder very much. Just as when Christianity tells me that I must not deny my religion even to save my life from death or torture, I wonder very much what I should do when it came to that point during the war. I'm not trying to tell you in this book what I could do. I can do precious little. I'm telling you what Christianity is. I did not invent it. And there, right in the middle of it, I find, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. There is no slightest suggestion that we are offered forgiveness on any other terms. It is made perfectly clear that if we do not forgive, we shall not be forgiven. There are no two ways about it. What are we to do? And this, I think, is the practical side of his thing. He continues on, it's going to be hard enough anyway, but I think there are two things that we could do to make this easier. In other words, in this horrible situation of World War II and for us, 9/11, two things that could make it more palatable for us to live this aspect of our Christian life. When you start mathematics, you do not begin with calculus. You begin with simple addition. In the same way, if we really want, but all depends on really wanting, to learn how to forgive, perhaps we had better start with something easier than the Gestapo. Or today, start with something easier than 9/11. One might start with forgiving one's husband or wife or parents or children or the nearest boss for something they have done or said just last week. That will probably keep us busy for a while. And secondly, we might try to understand exactly what loving your neighbor as yourself means. I have to love him or her as I love myself. Well, how exactly do I love myself? I thought that that was very appropriate. And of course, the gospel that we just read on forgiveness is the gospel of the Sunday. So there's no mistake that the message for us today from God is the message of forgiveness, that in the midst of the terrorism and the horrors that we still see going on in the world, that message, as C.S. Lewis said, I didn't invent this. I didn't write this. This is the word of God. And so we have to deal with it. You know, we have to reconcile ourselves with that. But I love that part of let's not take on those huge moments of horror for ourselves. Let's start with the next door neighbor, the wife, the husband.
The baby steps.
Baby steps. And then we begin, if we're all doing this, if we expand this, we begin to create a different world. And I think, you know, the last thing that for me, as a Christian, as a bishop, as a pastor of the church, the last thing that I would want to be the result of 9/11 is a hateful world, that we all become hateful, that we all become unforgiving. That's the worst thing that we could do. And especially in memory of those who died and their families, to make the world worse because of our hardness, and it would be no honor to them. When you think of them being with God, great compassion on all those who died, as He does for their family members, to really honor them in God, because we hope that's where they are. But to take up a new tone to our world, I think, is what would honor them most. And the Christian message, this gospel, this Sunday, really exhorts us to that kind of forgiveness, to forgive 77 times, to forgive infinitely, because God has forgiven us through the death of His own Son. So death is involved. So again, in no way am I writing off this event as though it never happened. It's a horrible thing. And, you know, our hearts still go out. People who remain the workers of that day, the trauma that they experienced, the innocent lives that were destroyed, none of that should ever be forgotten. But the question is always for us, we have to reconcile in that context. We still have to reconcile ourselves with the strong message of Christianity to forgive, and that's our task.
In the wake of those tragedies, there were those officials that called it ground hero instead of ground zero, because even though they acknowledged the horrific events of that day, there were those that said that it brought out the heroic nature in the people who rose to the occasion to help. And of course, all of us remember where we were when we first heard about the attacks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was on vacation. I wasn't far away from the parish in Georgetown, Texas, at the time when it happened. And it was funny because it was early in the morning and I was just kind of lounging around on vacation day, and I never really turned the TV on, but something I passed and I thought, you know, I'm just going to see what the news is. Mm-hmm. And I could not believe. I went back that evening to the parish, and without announcing a mass, the church was packed. We didn't even announce it. People wanted to come together and pray, right, and to make sense, try to make sense for themselves of how this could happen. And of course, there is no making sense of something like mm-hmm. this. But the sense, I think, as you're saying, this event really, it brings us to the goodness of who we are and the potential that we have to build a better world, to build a world that's not full of terrorism. It's a long road, and we won't see it in our lifetime, but we have to do our baby steps, as you said, to build a world of peace through forgiveness. Let's start at home.
Thank you, Bishop, for connecting today's gospel message of forgiveness to our remembrances of 9/11, the 22nd anniversary happening earlier last week. Now, if you would please end our program with a prayer.
Sure. And I think, you know, again, if we would all focus on that word of life for this month, that we had to rejoice because your brother was lost and he's come back. So that whole spirit of forgiveness, at least today, let's try to really all be people of peace today and people who want to forgive and who forgive. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Creator and guide, may we serve you with all our hearts and know your forgiveness in our lives. May those who inflict pain upon others and even death upon others be forgiven by you And may those who have lost their lives in 9/11 and their families who remain, those who continue to assist them, be helped with your grace and your love. And may Almighty God bless you this day and always, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
What is an ACTS retreat? ACTS is an acronym for Adoration, Community, Theology, and Service. It's a 4-day, 3-night retreat intended to provide an opportunity for a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. The purpose is twofold: to promote intentional Christ-centered discipleship and to build the parish community. One such retreat will begin at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish Hall in Portland at 5:15 p.m. on Thursday, September 28th. Then proceed by bus to the Pax Christi Liturgical Retreat Center, 4601 Cal Allen Drive, for the bulk of the event. The retreat will conclude with the 11 a.m. Mass on Sunday, October 1st, back at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. For complete information, call 361-222-1509. The Deaf and Hard of Hearing Center invites you to a free event. It's a come and play games event with our deaf community. There'll be games allowing everyone to interact and communicate with each other using ASL, American Sign Language. It'll be held at St. Anthony of Padua Parish, 204 Dunn Street in Robstown, from 7 till 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday, September 20th. Begin to learn a new language and build new friendships while having fun. Snacks will be provided. For more information, call Catholic Charities 361-884-0651.